It's Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
What a beautiful day. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 on this July 4th weekend, even though July 4th is Tuesday. I will be playing at Kearney Hill in a little while. I hope you get a chance to get out and play. We have a wonderful show lined up today. Of course, Perry French will join me, and the always interesting conversation that we have every week. And then a new friend of Backspin Golf. His name is Garrett Johnston, and he does a lot of freelance work in video production and journalism in the world of golf and other worlds. But he is at the Quicken Loans Golf Tournament at the TPC Potomac this weekend. He's a young guy, and what he's doing is pretty fantastic in terms of digital coverage of golf and the way he writes stories, and he's really interesting. I think you'll really like listening to him. And then one of our favorites returns, Lisa Longball, 7-time Canadian National Long Drive champ. She's been ranked as high as number 2 in the world in long driving. And if you've heard her before on the show, she's quite the fantastic woman, not only in terms of golf, but in terms of the unending, nonstop good works she does through her golf clinics for kids and plays in all kinds of charity fundraisers. She's a keynote speaker. Just great. She'll be joining us too. And real quickly, if you have not seen the video from the European Tour, there's a golfer there playing in France. His name is Li Haotong. He threw his putter in the water. He missed a putt on the 11th hole, threw his putter in the water. 2 holes later, his mom went in, and he played 7 holes using a sand wedge as a putter, played really well. His mom went into the pond to retrieve his putter, came up with a piece of a putter and threw it back in. Just Google it. It's fantastic. We'll be right back with Perry French right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Strixon Cleveland Golf.
Perry French. This is kind of the musical version. If this were a Broadway musical, Strixon, the musical, this is how it would start. That's kind of a Broadway opening.
Would Perry nice French. Huh? Strixon, the musical, if Hideki could have, you know, pulled out a win on the
weekend. Yeah, I know. But there's a lot of, you see that there was a, I believe, I saw different Strixon hats, all kind of cool. One white one with big red letters and all kinds of stuff. We got a lot of guys playing Strixon on tour.
It's been a fun couple of years, really. About 2.5-3 years ago, the culmination of the branding of Strixon on the PGA Tour has really taken hold. Our combination of Cleveland players that were Graham McDowell, Keegan Bradley, when they were hot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they've kind of softened their position on the tour. I think Graham's busy being a businessman and a dad.
Yeah.
And Keegan's trying. Well, the putter rule has really affected him. We're watching the Open, talking about that, and he actually, you know, played, and he played pretty well.
Yeah.
But geez, Louise, you know, when it comes down to the tour every week, and certainly at the majors, you got to be able to putt the ball.
Okay, now hold on. Once again, you and I had no idea what we were going to talk about. Here we go. So they take away the anchoring rule with putting.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Bradley turns into me on the tour.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah.
Adam Scott, on the other hand, who everybody, I even thought, what's he going to do? He's playing, he's putting great. Why is it in Keegan's head?
Well, I think that you make a good point.
Thank
you. Two players who have had both different reactions to the same ruling.
Right.
First of all, you can't imagine if you've done something for 10 or 15 years and then all of a sudden you can't do it and so you have to relearn that. So the 10,000 hour rule goes out the door.
Right.
Even though it's the same concept rule, okay?
Well, I'm very familiar with the 10,000 hour rule.
So the genius that it is being able to do it all that time, the players who can make Webb Simpson has struggled.
Yeah.
Again, had a chance to win the Phoenix Open.
He's playing a lot better.
Four
now.
Days of putting, though, it's just
right.
Listen, I output you by two putts a round. I'm up by eight.
Right.
That's eight shots that I've got to deal with that I can miss on the golf course. Mm-hmm. But that's a huge advantage, and it plays out every week. So I think to your point, Adam Scott has had success. It somewhat gets fleeting because he'll have a really good putting round, then he'll do what he did at the Open on the third round and miss a two-footer or 18-incher on the first hole. And everybody went, what was that? So it's the rules. I think that's where you get messing with people's head. We all have had that on the green experience where the days that you line up and it rolls in the hole and every putt almost goes in or doesn't go in. It's very close to going in. And then we have the days where you can't hit it from a foot or 2 foot. It just seems like it's and Ernie, another one and he was anchoring.
Yes.
He was, so.
Yeah, we forget that with Ernie Els.
Well, and how about let's go to Bernard Langer from way back when he was doing the first anchoring of the putter against his forearm.
Right.
Before it was.
Which even, you can't do that either. Is that correct? Well, you can't anchor it to your forearm either, right? Well, everybody thinks it's just holding it against your sternum.
That's another good question. Again, I think you can do what he did because the club, you're using your hand. You're not anchoring against your body. You're putting your hand against the putter
grip. We got to find this out.
Obviously, Kuchar putts with it up his arm, which to me is very unusual.
It is, but he's not anchoring it to his forearm.
No, it's laying against it.
Right.
And how he's got it. So. It's a dynamic that has to be looked at, but it's been going on for a lot of years.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And we saw Bruce Litsky putt with a long putter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a rule, Rocco. Players who have done well with it, and now Rocco's not playing much in the senior tour, but a little bit. He won the PGA Senior Cup two seasons ago. So they can have success. They're professionals.
Right.
I think Keegan has been really affected by it because just like anybody, if you're putting well, all of a sudden – that approach shot seems to be closer than the 15 feet you hit it.
Right.
Because you make the 15-footer.
And you're not putting pressure on you to hit it close every time.
And exactly. And then when you have a 5-footer and you miss the 5-footer,
gosh,
it's just a double hitter on your head, you know? So I think it's one of those things that will continue to evolve. These new rule changes, we can talk about that, though, that's going on.
They 2019, did though, right?
Right. USGA has they're in the period that's just getting ready to end, which is the discussion period.
Okay.
And the USGA did a nice job, I thought, through the telecast of showing you what's going on.
Right.
a couple of rules. I didn't know if you had any specific effect on what rules seem to get my attention, but the one that got my attention the most was the drop rule.
Yes.
So
now explain that.
Yeah. So you're whenever you're entitled to either a penalty drop or a free drop based on the condition, you're supposed to hold the ball basically at arms at shoulder height and drop the ball within a club length of the relief area.
Right.
So you put two tees down, one club length apart, and the ball has to come to rest.
Right.
Inside that,
it
can't go closer to the hole.
Right.
So if it rolls outside, that's your redrop. Two drops, and then you place it. Okay. So that's always, from a, 4 or 5 foot high drop.
Right.
Makes dropping a little. Well, now you can literally, the new rule will be you can drop to within literally almost what we consider placing it. It's literally an inch above the ground. And so that'll be a very interesting thing. One thing that.
Do you know why they did that?
They're trying to simplify the rules and make it for everyday play and handicapping purposes and speed of play. I think, and again, for that main reason is that players, three drops, come on.
Right.
Put the ball in play. Almost should be placing it.
It's only going to take one time to do it.
Exactly. And so, but if someone can put their hand on the ball and get that close to where it's not quite placing it, mm-hmm. just letting it go a little bit above will at least have the ball somewhat settle on its own.
Right.
Okay. In a bunker, to me, is the biggest advantage. When you drop a ball from 4 or 5 feet and it hits that bunker, it's going to typically just stay where it's put and be a plugged lie.
Right.
So certainly if you're taking relief any place in a bunker, it's in it and it has to stay in the bunker. Well, that's the new relief this year coming too. You can take the ball out of the bunker. So the new one that's proposed.
What?
So you can actually take an unplayable.
Wait, hold it, back up. Hold it.
That will be coming.
Hold it, back up. So you hit your ball in a bunker.
Right.
Why would you need relief in a bunker?
Well, let's say the ball's
embedded
up against the lip. You can't really advance it. So you say, I'm going to take an unplayable lie.
Right. Okay.
You can take an unplayable lie, but you just have to drop the ball in the bunker. Well, if you drop the ball in the bunker from the standard dropping procedure, it's going to pretty much kind of be a plugged or a fried egg.
That.
A tougher bunker shot for most players.
But
now, with the short rule, you could drop that ball in the bunker and really 1 inch above it and be much more than just settling in.
Right.
So a standard bunker shot could be played.
Okay.
The additional rule to that will be it'll be treated like a water hazard. It is a hazard. A bunker is a hazard.
Yeah.
Where for water hazard, you go out of the hazard.
And drop?
And drop the ball and pitch over, keeping that point between you and the play.
From an inch above, you can now almost place the ball still out of the bunker.
Do the same thing.
Do you understand what this rule does for me?
Well,
who doesn't like being in bunkers?
There you go.
And I'm such a great pitcher of the golf ball.
We've seen the three swings in the cloud of sand and no ball.
No, wait. That's not me. Wait.
Beef did that. Great. It was a fun spill in the deal. He had a practice round. He took a full swing.
Guy's arm came up.
No. And the sand went flying, and he had a ball in his hand, and he tossed it right behind it. So it was just kind of a joke.
You know what else he did? You didn't see the other one.
No.
You know how they had the videos of the fescue 2 feet high? And they showed guys dropping a ball in there, and you couldn't see the ball. And all. Beef was in there up to his knees in fescue. He took a huge swing and went and watched the flight of the ball. And he had a guy laying down. All of a sudden, this arm came up out of the fescue and threw the ball like that. He's the best. Beef Johnston to win a ton of golf tournaments.
He certainly is a competitive player. Again, yeah. If he has his tools to pull it all together on the major level. But he's fun to play. He loves – he's certainly a folk hero at both the European Tour and now playing a pretty decent schedule on the American PGA Tour. So,
okay.
Those are interesting rules that will affect – most players. So, yes, you can say, oh, this is a long bunker shot. I don't like this shot. One stroke penalty might be a smart play to just have that and go outside the bunker, drop the ball, and pitch it across the bunker.
But how do you justify taking the one stroke penalty? You can just
by rule
pick the ball up?
You could literally have the ball anytime you find your ball. You could declare it unplayable. You could take an unplayable lie and move it from the rough to the fairway. If you just
this is wrong. You can't do that in a scramble.
Cut your stroke, though. No, correct. Strokes, scrambles, typically you have to stay in the same condition.
Yeah.
But if it, truth be told, the true meaning of the definition, one club length or one
so
foot,
if it's outside
doesn't
a bunker,
matter. There's no such thing. The golf rules of golf don't recognize fairway or rough.
Right.
It's through the green.
Right.
So you really should be allowed, if your reliefing rule is or placement rule is within one club length or one scorecard length of where the ball came to rest that you're going to play, you should be allowed to move to a different condition.
I might try to pull that.
It is within the again, local rules can override and say you may not change conditions, but what is close to most. So it's a very unique way to look at the rules. I think the perspective is get it simpler for the player, everyday player, and let him play faster.
Right.
The new other rule is out of bounds. Ball going out of bounds will now be played as a lateral hazard. No stroke in distance.
That's huge because then you hit it out of bounds. You get up there, it's out of bounds. You got to walk all the way back to the
tee. You got to find it. Go re-tee it, or if you do hit a provisional now, while you can still hit a provisional golf ball because it's you're allowed to, you can choose that now. So that rule be at the drop where that ball went out of bounds is worse than your provisional ball. Then you can play the provisional ball. You don't have to play that ball out of bounds once you've passed where the golf ball went out of bounds. So it's going to be an interesting rule to see how that all transpires. Period's about over for discussion. They will be making a rule, but it's still not till 2019. So you'll have another year before that. They'll vote on it January of the 18, and they'll go into effect a year later, January of 19. So PGA Tour, everything. So it's going to be an interesting
Yeah, it's too long. We should be able to vote on it and do it the next day. I mean, come on.
They should.
I mean, really. Why are they waiting a year?
I don't know why. That's
Okay, so you have two things to find out before I talk to you next.
Okay.
You have to find out about anchoring the putter against your forearm and why the stupid USGA is taking a year to do this. All right? That's your homework. All right?
All right.
Thanks, Teach.
Thanks, Mark.
All right.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
So I'm looking through Twitter, as I do every day, and I've met so many unbelievable people over the last 4 years of doing the show from all over the world. And a guy named Garrett Johnston popped up in Twitter, and I checked him out, and I thought he would be really interesting to have on Backspin Golf. And then the more – and by the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Johnston Garrett. JohnstonGarrett. And as I'm going through, he works with Sirius XM Radio as a producer. And then I went to his website, and it turns out he does all these amazing things. And I'm going to let him describe a couple of them. He is at TPC Potomac at the Quicken Loans National Golf Course and the tournament this weekend. Garrett, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, you got it. Good to join the show with you.
Yeah, and this won't be the last time. I don't care what you think about me. I'm just telling you, this won't be the last time. Let's start with the fact that you're at the tournament this week. Now, it's July 4th weekend, and before we went on the air, you were telling me an FYI about Hurley's caddy. Billy Hurley is the defending champ from last year, and it was a great story. I'll let you bring it up again. But his caddy is from Lexington, and that's pretty interesting to those of us here in the Bluegrass.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. His name is Clay Durson, great guy. He's been out caddying. Basically, he got his start caddying through Josh Teeter, as many of your listeners probably have heard, the Moorhead alum.
Good friend of ours and mine.
Absolutely, and obviously a good friend of Clay Durson's as well. So he kind of opened the door for Clay to get him into the caddying ranks many years ago, and he's been on the back for Billy Hurley since 2012. So 5 years for the on the back for the former grad of Annapolis, the former cadet, as they say, and obviously Billy Hurley served for a number of years for this country, and for Hurley and for Clay to win last year, of all the tournaments they could possibly win, to get their first win here was such an emotional moment for the local hero. I mean, this would be like a local Kentucky player winning for the first time ever at Valhalla or at a course in Kentucky. It's just, it's one of those storybook things that you could never make up. And it's exciting just to see Billy do the defending champion. Obviously the media duties he fulfilled this week, and to see him with other members of the military that are currently part of the military. It's just such a cool way of giving back. And he's definitely been a great champion this last year, and we'll see how they do today. But regardless, it's been a special bond. My last point about this is that Clay Durson has actually designed the golf bag for Billy Hurley, and it's designed after a destroyer, one of the ships that Billy served on in our military for those years before he got on the PGA Tour. So just to show you that Clay has a creative side as well.
It's awesome, and you know, those of us that follow golf know that this tournament has more to do with the military than any tournament the guys play all year, and that makes it doubly great that Billy Hurley won this tournament last year on 4th of July weekend this year, and it's just an amazing story. I want to move on to you. First, tell us a little bit about how you got into what you do. You're a journalist. You love writing. You're a video producer. As I said, you wear so many hats. Tell us how you got into doing it.
Sure. I've always loved golf, and you know, when we sit down on Saturday afternoon, we turn on TV, we watch Jim Nantz on CBS or Dan Hicks on NBC doing the play-by-play, and we hear Johnny Miller and Kenny Venturi from years back.
Yep.
Nick Faldo now we hear on CBS as the analyst. There's just such a great narrative, and I'm not trying to speak to storytelling is I think a powerful thing, and we've seen that with NBC and CBS as they've covered golf. And you know, my whole thought, I guess, to answer your question is they can only cover so much on their broadcast. They have a short window on a Saturday afternoon to get our attention span. You know, this culture has turned into a bit of a 24/7 Twitter ADD culture. We have a short attention span. So my thought was go out there on the tour and represent the tour well, tell some stories like the story of Clay Dirksen and Billy Hurley, and find stuff that the broadcast will not get the chance to tell you. And so that's why I've gotten in and I've freelanced and just found a way to write for, you know, golf.com or New Zealand Golf Magazine, Inside Golf Australia. I mean, it really doesn't matter the outlet. It's just more where's an opportunity digitally and in a magazine to tell these stories and to find a home for them. Because it's great injustice. I told this to some gentlemen at the U.S. Senior Open this week in Boston that the great injustice of some of these tournaments is the stories that aren't told.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of at my heart of why I love covering the game of golf.
Well, it's just fantastic. I mean, the more that I read, and your website is GarrettJohnstonProductions.com, and you've been really busy. You said you haven't even been able to update it the way that you wanted to, but there are so many of your features, obviously, on your website that are fantastic. I've already looked at a couple of them, and it's a great point about the stories that don't have a chance to tell. It's great that you're doing this, and you're not only doing it for golf. Looking at your website, the NBA, NFL football, historical content stuff, you're quite a guy.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. I know. I think in the end, I love to give credit where credit's due. And I think everybody's personality, you know, as they find out about themselves they learn about themselves as they get older. And I was a history major in college, so that's why you see that stuff I did for Fort Sumter National Monument and just my love of history and commemorating the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. I mean, there were a lot of great Americans that were part of that that time in our history, and a lot of patriots involved with history going back to obviously the Revolutionary War as well. So I think that's always garnered my interest, but no, it's just enjoyable to be able to tell a story. I think that's what it comes down to. And now we're in a digital world. So.
And it's, as you said, I mean, whether it's you're writing for publications in New Zealand or Australia or really anywhere, it really doesn't matter because I have it right here in front of me on my computer. I don't have to be in Australia and get a copy of a magazine to be able to read your stuff. That's the good part about this. Tell us the story. I think everybody listening will enjoy hearing. You did a piece on Justin Thomas calling Jordan Spieth's hole out last week, which was a very funny story, by the way. Jordan Spieth tweeted after Justin Thomas said something like, "I have a feeling he's going to hold this out," before it happened. And Jordan Spieth said, if you say that enough times, it's eventually going to happen. The two of them are very funny. But tell us the story about the feature that you wrote about this.
No, it was the great thing about the tour is that week to week, there are storylines that carry over into the next week because it's just, you know, everything's so consolidated now. And it's just, basically, Sunday, as you mentioned, if you're a sports fan and you watched Sunday, the Travelers Championship, and you saw a playoff between two of the young guns of the tour, I mean, Daniel Berger is as good a player as you're going to find on the PGA Tour. And here he is locked in a battle against the Longhorn, the former Longhorn, Texas, well-known golfer, Jordan Spieth. And Jordan was against the cards, right? He was he was in trouble, and there he made the shot. The story with where Justin Thomas comes in is I figured he was such an important part of, as we know, social media is so powerful now. And so he became a part of the story by predicting and tweeting that, saying that Jordan's going to make this. And so I approached him on Tuesday here at Quicken Loans, and I said, hey, how'd this happen? How did you know? I'm going to ask you what I want to ask you first. How did you know? And Justin said, he's done it enough time. I literally was not surprised. And let me tell you, the way he said it was so, it was a formality.
Yeah.
He said it.
Like, matter of fact.
Let's not pretend that this is Hollywood. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've seen it enough times. He didn't say it with any inflection. He said it almost as if he was defeated by that formality. And he gave me one example that was the most powerful of their competition. They've been playing since the junior days. I mean, it's a great story. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are a great story of friendship and the camaraderie of the tour. But basically, he told me the biggest example of this happening to him, of Spieth's heroics, taking down Thomas, was at the 15th hole, Riviera Country Club, one of the great courses, 2012 NCAA Championship Finals match. And they're basically playing for their college, Alabama in Thomas's case and Texas in Spieth's case. And this is almost like a Ryder Cup atmosphere. It's mano a mano. It's down to the late matches, and it's down to them. And on the 15th hole, Jordan Spieth holed out a 4-iron from the fairway, and that was the most clear example that Justin Thomas could come up with.
It's a pretty good one.
On Tuesday.
Yeah, so. It's a pretty good one.
Not too shabby.
That's awesome. Well, I'll just tell you, I'm so glad that I found you, because you're the type of person on this show for 4 years that I have really tried to get to know. And as we go forward here, I hope I can call you and get you back as we go through this season, because I think you're really phenomenal and you're doing great work. And thanks for joining us, and have fun at the tournament, and have a safe and happy fourth.
Oh, you got it. We'll see you on Twitter, my friend.
Okay. Thanks, Garrett.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Okay. You know, normally on a Sunday morning here on Backspin Golf, it's kind of relaxed. It's, you know, 8 to 9 in the morning, people moving around, hopefully getting ready to go out and play. But today, the energy will be unstoppable. We will all, after about 10 or 11 minutes, we will all be juiced up, ready to go, ready to run through a golf brick wall, because Lisa Longball is on the line with me right now.
Thank you so much, Matthew. Good morning, everyone.
The most positive, this is the truth, out of all the people, and I know a lot of people, you are the most positive person, optimistic person I think I've ever come across.
Oh, what a compliment. Thank you.
Well, it's the truth. It makes me angry, if you want to know the truth, because it makes me look in the mirror and go, okay, I got to be more like Lisa. I just have to be more like Lisa. So you helped me a lot. Lisa, as she has joined us many times, and we tweet about her all the time, seven-time Canadian long drive champion. Here, listen to this. Callaway-sponsored athlete, golf entertainer, golf journalist, keynote speaker, top five at the 2016 World Championships. And that is about the least of what you do. Fill us in a little bit on what you've been traveling. You're always traveling. And you're in Calgary now, right?
Yes, I am. So I'm born and raised Calgarian, and I'm actually home right now, which has been nice. But yes, it's been a really exciting year so far. Signed my wonderful contract with Callaway Golf, so thrilled to be hitting the new Epic Driver this year.
Yep.
I was down competing in Mesquite, Nevada for the The Clash in the Canyon, which is was our first televised world long drive tour event, run on the Golf Channel.
So and
Golf
it was
Channel
awesome.
Was our federation, which is fantastic.
It was awesome.
And for the first year, they've brought the women back to television coverage,
mm-hmm.
and it was so exciting. Although, Matthew, holy cow, it was 119 degrees Fahrenheit, which for this poor Canadian, that was hotter than I was expecting. But yes, no, I've been traveling. I do corporate and charity golf tournaments all across North America. And then also keynote speaking. So I just returned home from Mexico a couple of weeks ago where I did a keynote speech at a conference to kickstart a conference off, which I absolutely love. And just yesterday I was at a corporate outing here in Calgary raising money for a dental health bus to help children who otherwise couldn't afford health care. And this bus travels for two communities in high needs areas. And, you know, it feels really good, Matthew, to know that you're part of giving back to something and raising money for such great causes.
Well, and you do it. I used to be able to play in a lot of tournaments. I don't do it as much now. We just had our 37th Children's Charity Classic here last weekend. And you're right. It's the best feeling in the world to know that you're getting to play golf and, in your case, teach people about golf and do good things for the community and for people at the same time. And I got to tell you, seeing the pictures of you, you just said, you know, you went and gave a speech at this conference and you do it all the time. Well, it's pretty impressive the things that you're doing at these when you give keynote speeches because, as I said, you can get people fired up. If I were a corporation, I'd have you in every week to speak to my employees.
Well, you know what? Thank you. I'm passionate about it, Matthew. I'm a former educator, so teaching has always been part of me. And when I had the opportunity to start keynote speaking, and it just took off like wildfire, it was really exciting. I share my story of how I went from a high handicap recreational player to the 7-time Canadian long drive champion, ranked as high as 2nd in the world. So, you know, it's so neat to share some of those experiences I've had. And I talk about peak performance and also about resilience and dealing with change and how to absolutely perform at your best, both personally and professionally. So I love it. And when people come to me afterwards and talk to me about, you know, how my story has impacted them and how it's changed them and how they've now set this ambitious goal to chase after, you know, that makes all the difference in the world.
Now, it's just, you leave me speechless sometimes, but here's something funny. So I'll just say I'm getting up there in age now, and I never hit the ball, even when I was a 5 handicap, I never hit the ball really far. I just hit it straight and got it up on the green and did what I had to do. Well, as I'm getting older, my distance has decreased a little bit, as it does for all of us. And in my head, among the 30 swing thoughts I have before I take the club away when I'm on the tee, the one that I try to get back to all the time is turn your shirt, turn your pants.
Oh, you love that. Isn't that a great, simple swing thought?
Now, to explain to people what that means, because this will help you with your distance off the tee.
Well, for your listeners, I would say that 80% of women struggle with hitting it over 200 yards. And in my opinion, if you're under the age of 70 and have no injuries, I believe every woman can hit it over 200 yards. But also your guys can be adding more distance.
Mm-hmm.
So the key to distance is the ability to make a good turn. And so women tend to lift their arms, and all they can do is drop their arms, so there's no distance. They'll hit it dead straight, but they'll hit their 8-iron as far as their 7-iron, as far as their 6-iron.
Mm-hmm.
For guys, we need to get because gentlemen tend to be a little bit stronger in their upper body, they end up making a good turn, but then typically they start that downswing with that back shoulder because they want to muscle it.
Yeah.
Again, that's a huge power leak. So a great swing thought, if you took your body, cut it into two halves, the upper half of your body being your torso, and then, of course, the lower half from your waist down, I want people to think, simple swing thought, turn your shirt in your backswing, turn your pants in your downswing. So when you get to the top of the backswing, that first swing thought isn't back shoulder. It's turn your lead hip, turn your lead pocket, turn your belt buckle, turn your guts, whatever it is that makes you turn. And for those of your listeners out there that are looking for more power, here's a great swing thought. Don't swing harder, turn harder. So when you get to that top of that backswing, think turn those guts harder, not swing harder, and I guarantee you'll add distance to all your clubs, not just your driver.
It's just so awesome to listen to you, and I really do think about that when I'm on the tee. You also, your son Luke, I love seeing the pictures of Luke as he's growing up. And as my boys are, getting taller and bigger and stronger and,
oh, yes,
and handsomer, I have to say.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. You also, your work, you love working with kids. It's easy to kind of convey these swing thoughts and the things you talk about to adults. But talk to us a little bit about, if you have kids playing golf, some of your thoughts on what to talk to them about.
Perfect. And again, a great, great point, Matthew, because with kids, and with adults too, but I find especially with kids, you want to have simple swing thoughts. That really helps the kids. So truly, if I was to teach a junior, first of all, grip. Grip is really important. And when I say grip, it's just we want them to be comfortable with it. I wouldn't work on interlock or overlock. Simply the 10-finger or baseball grip to start with, mm-hmm, for most kids seems to be most comfortable. The only thing there, make sure your juniors have their hands together. I find sometimes juniors want to let that bottom hand slide down towards to the ground,
right,
almost like in a hockey, holding how they would hold a hockey stick.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure your junior keeps those hands stuck together. And then simply telling the children, four simple tips. I want them to think, turn your shirt in your backswing, turn your pants in your downswing, have them try to brush the grass, and finish your golf swing so that if they're a right-handed golfer, that finish on your right toe. And because most golfers are right-handed, but again, mm-hmm, if it's a lefty, finish on your left toe. So simply turn the shirt, turn the pants, brush the grass, finish on your right toe again as a righty. And if you tell children that, you will have them hitting beautiful balls. The real key, too, is also brush that grass. That's
yeah,
for adults and juniors. Anyone who hits those low, skulky, worm-burning shots,
yeah,
what's happening is they're coming out of their posture. So they're lifting. Typically, it's their torso. And, man, Matthew, if I had a dollar for every time I saw a husband and wife out there on the golf course, the lady hits a little worm burner out there, and husband says, oh, sweetheart, you lifted your head.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. She didn't lift her head. And so now that's a terrible swing thought. She's focused on keeping her head down when really it's her chest that she needs to keep level,
yep,
not her head. So that's why when I tell kids, brush the grass is, if kids get that, and adults too, but if they brush the grass, you're going to have way, way better ball contact every single time.
Yeah, and this is Everett and Lee we're at the point now for the rest of the summer where they're going to start going out with me, and I can't wait. They both, it's so funny, you know, kids, Everett is a perfectionist, and he's got a great,
yeah,
swing. He gets upset when he doesn't hit a shot, and it's a good teaching moment for me, but he'll get up there and he'll hit the ball and he'll dissect everything that's going on. Lee is John Daly. Lee gets up there and he'll swing and miss twice, and then he will just pound the ball.
Rip it, baby.
Yeah, but they're so different, and yet they both come from me and Shannon, so it's just weird. Talk to me about I just want people to get a side of a little picture of the other side of you in terms of Luke. One of the great joys of your life is hockey. I mean, you're a Canadian, so.
Oh, yes.
You know,
it's in our blood, I think.
It is. Okay. Could you get a Canadian team like in the Stanley Cup finals, do you think?
Oh, come on.
Hello.
I know, Matthew. We were heartbroken. Heartbroken that we can't seem, the American teams are getting stronger and stronger, and now with the addition of the Las Vegas Golden Knights,
yep,
there's going to be another good strong team coming,
mm-hmm,
in. So my little Calgary Flames, you know, we were hoping that we can try to, you know, we made the Stanley Cup playoffs, but can we make it to the last two teams standing?
Right. Yeah, well, we got to work on that, but
I know.
And then you put pictures up of Luke playing hockey and of Luke on the golf course, and
yeah,
there's nothing better than that, and you have a right to be so proud of him because he looks like.
Oh, thank you. You know what, Matthew? I truly believe that the beautiful thing about golf is that it's a family sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids put away their electronics, and when you're there, it's 4.5 hours on the golf course together, where you're laughing, talking, communicating, you know, sharing stories, and it's so fun. And I do believe in kids being multi-sport athletes.
Right.
I know that there's a big push. Luke is starting to get more into that elite hockey, so you know people want to you know. That he's playing, you know, 5-6 days a week sometimes, you know,
yeah,
it could be in the spring and so forth. But I think it's really important to do all sports, and especially at this age. So Luke just finished baseball, where he was a pitcher. I couldn't believe what a good pitcher. Well, he's tall and thin, so he had some great pitching moves. Hockey, as you said, golf, baseball. He loves football, tossing the football,
mm-hmm,
around. And, of course, like even swimming, water skiing, you know, he's just getting into wake surfing and stuff like that. So it's still fun because I think it develops a child in just generally as an athlete, which will make them a better golfer, hockey player, baseball player, whatever sport they pick.
It does. You know, fastest 12 minutes in the world when I talk
to
you.
Oh, I know.
It's horrible. But and it would not. You know what would be really great? It would be really nice to actually meet you. Because
I know, I think we need to come down to your 38th annual charity event. I think that wouldn't that be amazing to come down and
it just happened
for all of us to meet.
I'm gonna talk to them right now about it.
Love it.
Seriously. And that way you can block that off on your calendar. And,
absolutely.
Okay. This is great. Thank you so much as always, and I'm your biggest fan.
Matthew, thank you so much. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that support. And I have so many my American friends. I consider us one big family, North America, right? You know, and
yep.
So really, really proud. You know, to have met you and to be on your show. So thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye. All right, that'll wrap it up for this edition of Backspin Golf on July 4th weekend. I'm heading out to Kearney. Yes, sir. I hope all of you get a chance to play today, maybe tomorrow or Tuesday, depending on the weather always, of course. But it is July 4th. Hopefully you have maybe a long weekend, maybe tomorrow off too, as well as Tuesday. Thank you to my guests this week, of course, Perry French. Our new friend, Garrett Johnston. Again, he's a fairly young guy, and it's pretty remarkable what he's doing right now in terms of all the freelancing as well as working with SiriusXM and the different organizations he's representing. But he's fantastic, and we'll follow him along through the season and get him back on the show also. And, of course, Lisa Longball, whose real name, by the way, is Lisa of Lucewick. But known pretty much all over North America as Lisa Longball. And now because of the Golf Channel and different features she's been a part of, people all over know who she is. She's just an amazing person. And if you want to Google her, just Google Lisa Longball and watch a couple of her videos in these long drive championships. She's pretty staggering. But as great as she is on the golf course, she's a better person. And thanks, as always, to our partners, French Lick. We'll be going up there soon. Senior LPGA Championship at French Lick is coming up. Lexington Parks and Rec for the five great golf courses. I've gotten to play Picodome a couple times the last couple weeks. And, of course, Kearney, where I'll be later today. Just great. They're great golf courses, and we're lucky to have them. And Edwin Watts Golf. Go on over there. Fantastic people, great deals, and they have everything you could ever want for the game of golf. And we'll see you back here next week at 8:03 at the Square Country Club for another edition of Backspin Golf. Happy July 4th, everybody. Have a great day.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.